Good evening, and welcome each one to the communion service. Thank you, Brent, for those very fitting songs. I trust that you're reflecting already on what Christ has done. And I think it's just a beautiful time when communion, celebrating or remembering the death of Jesus this evening as we go into a week where we remember the cruel mistreatment that Christ went through on my behalf because of his love for me, because of his love for you. And what a beautiful time to reflect and remember what Jesus has done. It was not the nails that held him to the cross and was not the strength of mankind that forced him to go to the cross, but rather it was his love for fallen mankind that he was willing to go through and experience that cruel cross. For a text and the message this evening, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The first part of this chapter is probably familiar to us as God's order of headship and the head covering. Then the second part of that chapter, Paul talks about communion and how we should partake of communion and how we should not partake in communion. The Corinthian church, even though it was an early church, it was a new church, and yet there were problems that Paul was addressing. And throughout Corinthians, he was addressing some of the error that was in the early church. And in this chapter, where he talks about communion, is he was giving some admonition on what they should not be doing when they go to observe or partake in communion. I don't know a whole lot of the context of what this looked like in the early church, but what I understand, they often had a meal when they would participate in communion. They would have a love feast, or known as the agape, and it would consist of three parts: a meal, the bread in the cup, or the bread in the wine, or the juice, and then the feet washing. And I think it'd be neat sometime to have a meal together as well, and then have communion like they likely did in the early church. I know there are some churches that practice that today. They have a meal with their communion service. Wanda grew up in a Dunkard Brethren church, and they had that there. I believe, was it called the Love Feast? The meal that they had with communion. So I'd like to start reading here, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'll read verses 17 through 22. And in these verses, again, Paul is admonishing them and giving them some correction in how they should partake in communion. Verse 17, Paul says, "Now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you." Verse 20, "When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." So Paul is almost like rebuking them for what they were doing. And as I was reading studying some in this passage, it looked like, or there's a few things I believe that Paul was trying to correct in the early church, in the Corinthian church. He said, first off, there's divisions among you. And we're probably all familiar with the prayer that Jesus prayed prior to going to the cross. John 17 records the prayer of Jesus. He prayed for his disciples, he prayed for the church, and then he prayed for all future believers as well. And I won't we won't turn there, but Jesus prayed that the church, that his followers would be at one with one another, that they would love each other, and there would be unity there. Now, just a little bit later, Paul is saying, there's divisions among you. You're coming together partaking the Lord's Supper, and yet there's divisions. You're not getting along. And then the second thing he talks about is, from what I understand in these verses, they would come together and they would have this big meal. And it was not so much of a love feast or the agape where they're remembering what Jesus has done, but rather they're coming just to fill their bellies, to eat, and they're really forgetting what this was all about. I don't think it was wrong at all to eat a meal during this time, but it is all to be done to remember what Christ has done. So Paul is admonishing them for their division, and also they're eating and really forgetting what they were doing. And that verse drunken in verse 21 says, talking about them eating and another is drunken. It doesn't necessarily mean, at least from my studies, that intoxicated with alcohol. Not that it doesn't ever mean that, but it could also mean just filling their bellies, just eating till their heart's content. And Paul is saying, can I praise you in this? No, I can't. I praise you not. And he was rebuking them for what they were doing. And then I'll read verses 23 through 34 as well, and we'll look at some of those verses there. Paul went on to say in verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took of the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink of this cup, or drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Or in other words, and many have died. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that he come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. So in these next verses that are the verses that I just read, he's now saying, now this is how I want you to partake in communion. This is how you should do it. And then verse 34, he closes, and the rest I'll set in order when I come. So it sounds like there was even more that Paul wanted to set straight or to admonish them in. I find it interesting, too, when you look at the context of this. So chapter 12, Paul goes right into talking about spiritual gifts. And spiritual gifts should be a oneness about the church. When people use their gifts, it is all for the body to function together. So Paul cared very deeply about unity in the church. And when he's seen there were divisions, I believe it broke his heart to see that. And I want us to think about, as we come together tonight to remember what Christ has done, that we look at the church body that we have here, and I believe we all want unity. We all strive for that oneness that Christ brings, that Christ prayed for, that the church would have. I don't have a long message this evening, but the title I gave it is Remembering Redemption. Jesus said, as he broke bread and as he gave the cup to his disciples, he says, do this in remembrance of me. Do this to remember what I have done for you, I believe could be said as well. Jesus did not want us to forget why he went through what he did. We should remember what Christ has done. Most of us, I'll speak for myself, I'm a forgetful person. If we would all could all say that of ourselves. It's easy to forget sometimes. And we have holidays that we or that this nation celebrates or remembers every year. They have this in order like July 4th, Independence Day, and Labor Day, Memorial Day, so that we don't forget them. And remembering what Christ has done, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Jesus did not give us instructions on how often we should practice it. So I believe there's room for a variety in this. There are some churches that every Sunday they get together and they'll break the bread and drink the cup. We practice it twice a year. I don't think it's that important always how much, how often it's done, but to do this in remembrance of what Jesus has done. So remembering redemption. This morning's message was a beautiful message of hope that John Weaver shared. We as God's people, because of what Jesus has done, we can live with that lively hope. We have a reason to be grateful people here this evening in remembering what Christ has done and remembering the hope that he has given us. Jesus said here, or in verse 25, you know, do this in remembrance of me. Paul is quoting Jesus. And then verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. So this is something that is to be continued to be practiced until Jesus comes. When we get to heaven, I don't think we'll partake in communion in the same way that we do now. And I had to think of Dan Hurst passing away. There's his life on earth has ended. His body is, his heart is no longer beating. And yet he is continuing to live. That hope that we have because of what Jesus has done, even though the Hurst family is grieving right now, the loss of a father, the loss of a grandfather, we have this hope. How miserable we would be if we would be without hope. So as we reflect on the death of Jesus and what he has done for us, it should cause us to just rejoice in what he has done for us, remembering redemption. Verse 27 is a very sobering verse, thinking about what Paul said, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. I don't know how often you've pondered that verse. My question is, how can we partake of the Lord's Supper or communion unworthily? What does that look like? And looking at what Paul was addressing here, division, I believe if we come together to remember what Jesus has done, and yet there's not peace amongst the brotherhood, if we're not at peace amongst each other, there's divisions, I believe that'd be one way that we could partake of the partaking communion unworthily. Jesus cared very much that there would be that oneness. Harold Martin said in his commentary on this chapter, he said, "The Holy Communion is a proclamation of the death of Jesus Christ. It is the most solemn act of worship in which the human heart can ever engage or can ever be engaged." Thinking about communion, it is a proclamation of the death of Jesus Christ. It is the most solemn act of worship in which the human heart can ever be engaged. I think we should come to a communion service with, there should be that, we should do it soberly, we should do it carefully, remembering what Jesus has done. This is not something to just partake in lightly or casually. It is something to think about as we come to a communion service, remembering what Jesus has done. So I believe one way, again, would be to, one way to partake unworthily would be just come with a casual attitude and just, you know, go through the motions. You know, take the bread, take the juice, wash each other's feet without really even thinking about what we're doing. I believe that's taking one way that we would be taking it unworthily. This should draw our minds. The communion service should draw our minds to Christ. Our minds should be centered on Christ and the gift of salvation, what he has done. And thinking about the bread, as we eat the bread, we remember the suffering that Jesus went through. And talked about in our Sunday school lesson this morning, Jesus could have chose another way, or he didn't have to go through with that mistreatment. The time of Jesus going to the garden and just crying out to his Father, "Father, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." Jesus went through agony before the cross and during the cross, but yet he did it because of his love for me and his love for you. So as we take that bread, we remember Jesus' body, the cruel mistreatment, the beating that he was given, the crown of thorns on his head. He was spit upon, as the words of the one song. We remember the cruel mistreatment, what Jesus did, so that I can have life, so that I can be forgiven, so that you can have life, so that you can be forgiven from your sins. As you drink that, the juice, thinking about the blood that was poured out, that the blood that Jesus shed, as the whip was taken across the back of Jesus, the blood that was pouring out of his back, he didn't have to go through that, but yet he did it willingly so that we can have life, so that we do not have to live under the bondage of sin. It should cause us to rejoice and to say, "Thank you, Jesus." And then the feet washing. I don't know what all goes through your mind when you prepare for feet washing. I'll admit it's a little awkward. It's not something we generally do, but there's something so beautiful about it when we think of servanthood, serving one another. We don't wash each other's feet because our feet need clean, but we do it just remembering the life of service that Jesus lived. Jesus took upon himself the form of a servant. He was left the glories of heaven to come down to suffer this mistreatment and to take upon him the form of a servant. He served others. I think there's something so beautiful about seeing a leader serving. There's many times I've witnessed it where someone that has a position of power and yet taking upon him just some very small task, but just being willing to do any task, just serving. This weekend our family was at a taxidermy convention, and last evening there was a banquet there, and something that I just observed as they were preparing the meal, they had a banquet, and the president of the PTA, the Pennsylvania Taxidermy Association, there was a few of the board and the president up there on the stage. They were busy trying to get things finalized for the banquet afterwards. And as we were eating, they were busy working. I just observed that. I'm like, there they were, even though they have the positions of power in the PTA, yet there they were busy serving. And how much more it is in the body of Christ. So beautiful to see people in whatever positions they have just being willing to, "I'm your servant," and just serving each other. And that's the desire that Jesus had, that we would be at one with one another, and we would just have that servant's heart. We don't have the attitude of, "Well, that's not my position," but we serve one another. We are there for one another. And in this context of the passage here, when I was reading about this again was some of Harold Martin's the commentary on it, but it was likely as they were coming together to have their meal, it was likely that the rich would bring their really good food and the poor would bring their lesser or not as desirable food. And it was likely that they would come together to eat this meal, and you'd have a section where the poor are eating and the other section of the room there is where the rich are eating. And that's just so opposite of what Christ taught. And Paul's saying, no, you need to be, there's divisions among you. You need to be at one with one another. You are eating and drinking unworthily. It is very, very serious that we do not eat and drink in an unworthy manner. And then the second one, thinking about what are ways that we could potentially partake in communion unworthily. I think there's great value in verse 28 here, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. this, when we come to a communion service, there should be a self-examination that happens prior to the service and maybe even during the service where we examine our heart. So again, thinking about the opposite, if we would just go into communion service with a very casual attitude, not really thinking about what we're doing, I believe that's a way to partake in communion unworthily. But we need to examine ourselves. Examine ourselves. Is there any sin in my life that I have not repented of? Is there any sin in my life that I'm not willing to deal with? And hopefully we've all examined our hearts prior to this service. And also examining how are my relationships with others. And that's why we have the council papers that we hand out, a time for self-examination. Is my relationship clear with God? Is my relationship clear with man? And are we thinking about, or are we examining our heart prior to the service? And then in verse 29, Paul is saying, if we eat and drink unworthily, we're actually eating and drinking damnation to ourselves, not discerning the Lord's body. How serious this is. And then Paul says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, or some others have died. I'll let one of you expound more on this verse if you know. I don't know exactly what all is going on here, but the seriousness that can happen if we partake in communion in an unworthy manner. And in a sense, there should be that, I believe, that attitude that we have. Maybe we all feel, in a sense, unworthy to partake in communion because we see ourselves as we are not perfect. We have sinned. And yet, we also recognize that the blood of Jesus, every sin that we confess, the blood of Jesus is able to just cleanse, to remove as far as the east is from the west. And we can just take great joy in that, knowing that when we're honest with God, when we're honest with ourselves, that our sins can be removed. They can be blotted out. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin, and how wonderful that is. And that it is the blood of Jesus, and only the blood of Jesus, that can make us worthy to partake in this beautiful communion service. And this is a quote from Harold Martin as well. It says, all humans have been tainted by the original sin, and so we do not come to the Lord's table perfectly, but we must determine to come honestly. We don't come here tonight perfectly. We are flawed, and yet the blood of Jesus cleanses us, removes us from the sin from our lives. We need to come before Him in honesty, with honest hearts. So I trust as we partake in communion this evening that we would reflect again, remember redemption. We would remember the price that Jesus paid for me, for you. That you would remember Jesus went through all that mistreatment so that you and so that I could be free from sin and to live a life of service for Him. We no longer have to live in guilt or under bondage, but we can be free because of His body being broken for us, because of His blood being shed for us. And as we wash each other's feet, we can remember the life of service that Jesus lived and to serve one another. What I would like to do at the close of this message, I think we'll have just a few or some time of just silent prayer, of just quieting our hearts before God, and again doing a self-examination in our hearts and just thinking about again, what Christ has done for us so that we can partake in communion in a worthy manner. So I'll give a time of just silence and then I'll close with prayer. Let's pray. We are so grateful for your plan of salvation. As we remember this week, the death of your Son, Jesus, we know that He loved us so much that He was willing to go through all that mistreatment, the accusation, being spit upon, the crown of thorns being placed on Him. We recognize that it was all done because of your love for us, and we just thank you so much for that. I thank you that because of the blood of Jesus that we can come in your presence this evening and be worthy to partake in this service. And I pray as we take the bread and the juice, and as we wash each other's feet, that we would be reminded of the life of Jesus and that we would be committed to following you. Pray that you would be with the remainder of the service and Lester as he leads out from here. It's in your name we pray. Amen.